other than the main conference. So I don't understand what that means. So with that, David, I'm going to turn it over to you to run through the use cases. I think that may be just, you know, the straightforward things to do.
Oh, okay.
Well, unless we should start somewhere else.
No, we can start there and see how it goes. I need to bring up a cheat sheet, though. You give me 1 second.
Okay.
All right. For the I wasn't sure how
you
we
were thinking
go.
About that. Peggy would just throw it over to you. Hey, Mark,
yep.
I know you're leaving, like, next week. Oh, was it the week after?
It's next week.
Okay, it's next week. So I don't know if you want to or if you have time or if you have enough information after this call to put together at least an outline. I don't know what you – I mean, I know you don't have a lot of time, but I kind of just want to discuss that up front, too.
Right. Well, okay. Just a couple things from my perspective. We're going to talk about use cases today. Something we haven't done is done a briefing on the at a high level on the product.
On the product.
Like
yep.
through a PowerPoint.
Yep.
As you know, Peggy, I've been working in writing about enterprise technology for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very familiar with content management mm-hmm. practices. I'm not that well versed in the ACM product
mm-hmm.
and IBM solutions there. And obviously mm-hmm. there's a lot I would like to know
okay.
about the history, the need, the solutions, and obviously the use cases. So I wonder if it might not be helpful to, run through a presentation on at a high level on
yep.
the overall market landscape and that sort of thing before we dive into the use cases.
Okay. And so I know we sent you a deck last week.
I have two decks, yes.
Two decks.
That are very they have some of the same content.
That's right, because I sent you one that was from David also. David, I don't know which deck I sent Mark, but it was definitely from you.
Right.
So
if it was the one of the ones called ACM Customer Facing Presentation.
Yes, I have that one, and I have one that also says By Appointment Only Briefing.
Ah, it was a By Appointment Only Briefing.
No, I have both. You sent me both, Peggy.
Yes,
they both
so.
Use the same content.
Okay.
But they are different in certain ways, too.
Okay, so the by appointment only content was not from you. It was from Brian, but I'm sure the original source was yours. Do you mind, David, then maybe run through the customer-facing deck?
Yeah,
quickly?
I'll do that. And actually, we might be able to kill two birds with one stone because that presentation that I sent actually has the use cases in it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm getting pinged.
And also, before we proceed, we mentioned six use cases.
Yes.
This morning here. From a length perspective on the ebook,
uh-huh.
that's going to, you know, I'm envisioning 1.5 to 2 pages per
mm-hmm.
case.
Okay.
So if they, do push out to 2, that's 10 pages right there. And obviously
okay.
you've got a cover page. You probably, although maybe not necessarily, have a table of contents, content page.
Mm-hmm.
And you have at least 2 pages of, higher market level introduction and purpose of the ebook introduction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's, 2 pages there, at least 2 pages. And you've got a conclusion.
Yep.
So all of a sudden we're up to like 16 pages.
Okay.
Which is okay if that's what you want, but I just want to you know, note that if we do go with six use cases, it's going to, you know, go over what you had in mind, Peggy.
Yeah, and you know what? That's kind of what you and I talked about after we dropped. I mean, after we the other folks left. So we can, you know what? I guess for me, I want a good product, whatever makes sense to describe the story, what we want to convey.
Okay.
So let's, we can take that offline.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the deck you sent over last week.
Okay, so we're looking at the one that starts out with the bubbles, the service requests.
Okay, and so this is the one that is not titled by appointment only briefing.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha, David.
Okay. Sorry, just getting my act together. So I guess by way of a little bit of introduction, you're familiar with, you said, the content management. Are you familiar with business process management?
Yes.
Okay, so.
But also it has, it's one of those terms that has evolved over the years to mean so many different things. So if you can frame it in the context that we want to use that term here, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I will. So the really quick history story is we have had a product in the business process management space. So, in other words, helping clients automate a given process, whether it's a loan origination process or some of the ones that we're talking about here. And, you know, the way that they would do that would be the way that most of these products work, which is you draw a map that, excuse me, graphically denotes the path of information through systems and people that are part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is that you've, you know, taken the errors and mistakes and redundancies, excuse me, out of the process by automating it. So, you know, basically you're allowing people to get their work done by getting information to them or to the right systems without somebody having to go look for it or ask for it or whatever.
Right.
The key underpinning of that capability for us is a thing that we call active content. So our business process management product carries with it a content management capability. They're bundled and integrated within the platform. And what that does for us and what it does for our clients is it basically allows actions to take place on content automatically. So by virtue of when you design a process, you also instruct that process to say that documents or folders or whatever of these different types get these different actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that could mean be declared a record. It could mean open this type of folder. It could mean generate this sort of document, whatever. But the benefit to all of this was that you had, you know, essentially the two capabilities bundled into one place, and the interactions between those capabilities were also automatically there and were able to be specified without having to write code to do it.
And one quick question there, is that a competitive differentiator? Does any other vendor offer both bundled BPM and content management?
Not exactly. And so that notion of active content has been a competitive differentiator for years.
Right.
And there are other vendors that are in both businesses, but none of them enable it technically the way that we do.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Good.
So one of the things that we noted we realized that our clients were creating these case applications with our platform, and there are a number of aspects of case management that are different from traditional business process management. And the major one, the major concept, is that when you're adjudicating a case, it tends to move unpredictably. And what that means is that you can't draw a map from beginning to end and say that the outcome of this pace will be governed exactly by the way that this map is drawn, because the way typically cases are adjudicated, they depend upon somebody making a decision that is based on current information at hand. It could be based on interactions with a customer or a constituent or whomever. They could make a decision that's the right decision for the company that was unplanned. And part of that you see in the use cases that I'm selecting, that, you know, when you talk about something like a fraud investigation, you know, there's, you know, what begins it. There's a suspected incident of fraud.
Right.
You know what outcome you want. I either want to investigate a case or I want to say that there isn't a case. But traversing from beginning to end, there's no definitive path. Now, there may be different, what I would call, or what we call process fragments. There may be different processes that you take on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, if I'm doing commercial lending or if I'm doing wealth management, you know, I may know that if I hit a certain point, I need to fund an account. I may need to do a credit check. I may need to get an approval. But you're never sure when you have to do any of those one things.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this type of a process doesn't allow you to, well, it's not optimized by drawing a map. And what we found is that when organizations try to draw maps to do this stuff, the maps are like spaghetti. Because they have to double back and they have to account for every possible different path that could be taken.
Right.
And so that's another competitive differentiator for us. We're often competing with BPM products.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, in addition to the fact that when you do case management, you absolutely have to have information along with that, whether it's unstructured content or data that's part of a form or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the active content is one thing, but the other thing is that the BPM mapping tools don't allow you to nicely, neatly, easily, and without redundancy create the automation allows you to adjudicate the case according to the information and circumstances at hand.
Okay. A couple basic questions, if I could.
Yeah.
Should we be thinking or using the term BPM in this ebook?
We should not.
Right. Huh. I didn't think so. Okay.
And there are a few reasons why. Now, one of the things that I always say, and we say, is that process or workflow is inherent in what you're doing in a case. You know, there's work that's moving, it's flowing, but we tend to use the term workflow
mm-hmm.
to describe that sort of activity.
Okay.
For a variety of different reasons, but not the least of which is there are competing internal products that we want to be aware of.
Right, and that's the kind of the second part of my question. IBM has a standalone BPM product, correct?
Yes, it does.
And it's separate from the ECM area.
Yeah.
Okay. And that product will help manage business processes such as many things, right?
I'm sorry, such as?
Such as just about anything, just about any business process not related to case management.
Yeah, I mean, and the way that we talk about them, and, I mean, just cutting to the chase, you know, software is software, and you can make it do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, with enough time and money and lives and all that. But the way that we talk about them is we say each one is optimized for a certain set of use cases or certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And the BPM product tends to be optimized for those situations that are either straight through or you can draw a map or you know, you have a structured process.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that structured process, you can do ad hoc activities.
Yes.
But you can only be ad hoc or dynamic to the extent that you pre-designed it.
Okay. And what are some of the leading business areas that IBM BPM product would be used for?
Loan origination is one that, you know, sort of overlaps the boundaries here, but that would be one. Whenever there's the need to, warranty claim is another one that is iffy, but, you know, when you have a process that requires data to be moved around among some number of back-end systems or front-end applications, and that has to be orchestrated, then that's another sweet spot for them.
Right.
Account opening, what else would I come up with? Sort of like you said, anything, ranging from granting a new employee network access,
right.
going through the internal process to do that.
Procurement, does it have applications in supply chain as well?
You don't see the BPM product itself as a standalone in supply chain. Most supply chain planning or execution products tend to have their own embedded workflow capability.
Yeah, right, okay.
But one thing that's sort of interesting is when you get into the area of new product introduction, that's more of a case, or it's more of a case workload kind of a thing because, it's indeterminate. Anything in manufacturing uses phase gate process to go through and approve a new product or a new expenditure.
Right.
I think phase gate lends itself very well to the case paradigm.
Okay, very good. And what's the name of the IBM BPM product?
It's called IBM BPM.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks for that, David. It's helpful to get that little perspective.
No, and the other thing sort of related is our major competitor, and I would say both our major competitor for this product and IBM BPM's major competitor is a company called Pegasystems.
Okay. P-E-G-A?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Pega is a BPM vendor, but they have created what I would characterize as a case overlay for their BPM product.
Okay.
And if you want to, I'll get into how they do what they do, but I don't know that it's material for that.
But while we are on naming, what's the name of the product we want to, not the product we're highlighting, but let's go through the naming conventions that we're going to be using in the ebook. I know there's IBM, ECM.
Oh, so the product at hand is IBM Case Manager.
Case Manager, and that's the name of it, right? It's not Advanced Case Manager? Case Manager.
No, it's just IBM Case Manager.
Okay.
There's a whole confusing history of our different acronyms, but yeah.
Yes.
So, let me go through it because it may be worthwhile. The way that the history is that we were gated in terms of using the product name that we had come up with because we didn't have a product to introduce yet. So by IBM's product releasing laws, you can't name a product or give dates or anything else until you have an announcement and EGA and all that.
Yeah.
So what we started doing back in, I guess it was April of 2010, was talking about having an advanced case management strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And that strategy would entail the integration of a variety of technologies that people tend to need to accomplish doing casework or managing case workloads or, whatever term you want to use. The product that IBM has come up with to address the advanced case management strategy opportunity is IBM Case Manager.
Gotcha.
So we still, these days we talk less and less about the advanced case management strategy and more about ICM, IBM Case Manager, but there's still a good degree of confusion and acronym hell and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
Okay. So let's see, where were we? So we're in the history. So those two elements of uniqueness, the ability to deal with unpredictability of a process like this and also the active content are really, for us, what separate the base platform and the product, and then there are some other elements that are competitive strengths for us that I'll get into eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the slide deck, the first 1, 2, 3 slides talk about the situation at hand. So, I lead it off with this bubble chart, and you can build it if you want, but the story behind it is, when, for example, an organization gets a service request, It could be something as simple sounding, perhaps even as a name and address change, or it could be a dispute or a complaint or whatever that particular situation is. But it turns out that these things are very complicated. So there are situations that a CSR, for example, can't address just on a phone call and close out with a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
If there are issues with the product, if there are documents that have to be looked at, if there's correspondence that has to be generated, if somebody has to go through complaint history, so on and so forth, all of those things may have to be taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good example of what makes this sort of a use case around a service request an unpredictable case-like sort of a workload or situation.
Mm-hmm.
The next slide is a cute slide to say, when you have that sort of situation, here's what your CSRs look like. They're very frustrated. And the reason that they're frustrated is in order to address this sort of a complex issue, they typically have to do a lot of different things. They're looking at however many different screens. They're bungeeing in and out of some number of different applications that hold different types of data, whether it's customer data, whether it's documents. And basically, this person has to do all that work or has had to do all that work himself.
Mm-hmm.
So addressing these issues is a tough thing, and there really hasn't been anything that aggregates the kind of capabilities that we're talking about to help this person out. And remember that this person's charge is to make the best business decision or set of business decisions to arrive at the outcome that is correct for that situation, pursuant to how the organization or the business operates.
Uh-huh.
Slide 6 is basically several analyst firms saying, yep, this is a problem, we see it, and case management is the kind of thing that addresses it.
Right.
Uh-huh. Sorry, my computer is just a little bit slow today. So in light of the fact that everybody agrees that this is a big problem and represents a big opportunity, you start to think about, how do you address that? And so this next slide, you can weigh in on it. Can weigh in on these slides too. Some of them are new. The way that organizations have typically gone about this is one of several ways. They may have tried to apply BPM tools to do it, and that's what they did with our prior product and platform. They may simply approach it from a content management perspective, and that's sort of this notion of the folder. There have been point solutions and so on, but the point that we're making here is that case is about more than a set of documents in a folder. And this gets a little bit into the discussion about the unpredictability of the process and the fact that it's a person making the decision. It's not automated entirely. There's collaboration that could be involved. The person answering a question may have to ask an expert inside the company or may have to dialogue with a customer. Or in the case of – actually, I forgot a good use case in here, Peggy, and the educational intervention would be another good one. I should have listed, but – so, for example, if you have a student that is not performing up to par and the educator wants to intervene, the lingo in that market,
mm-hmm.
In addition to determining why the student isn't performing, the teacher may want to have discussions with other colleagues, with parents, and maintain those over time. So the notion of collaboration. And then maintaining context is an important thing because we are amassing and needing to persist a lot of different pieces of information, whether it's data extracted from systems that help guide the caseworker or their documents or whatever. Even the case histories, all of that and case comments have to be maintained throughout and beyond the life cycle of the case. So anyone that picks it up needs to understand, here's what happened, here's where we are at this given moment, and here's all the relevant information at hand so that you can make a decision, is this case closed or not?
Yes.
Or is there something else that needs to be done?
Right. Good.
So, and that's I don't know if I explained it the right way, but that's also an important distinction between process and case in that when you're in a process, you're stepping through, and the question is always, when I hit the button, do I go to the, or not, it's not a question, when I hit the button, I go to the next step. In case I'm making a decision, is the case closed or not at any given point? It's qualitatively a little bit different.
But a process comes to an end as well, doesn't it?
Comes to an end, but you're, you know, typically if you're one of workers in a process, you know, you're not making a decision on the outcome of the entire process. You're working your step.
Yeah.
And you can have some of that as part of a case adjudication. But, you know, more often than not, what you're interested in with a case is the outcome. Do I have enough knowledge, and can I make a decision that we've reached the outcome or not, or we have the right outcome? Or does something else have to be done, whatever that is?
Understood. Okay, good.
So this next slide, you'll probably notice some similar terms and names from the case studies. So this is basically, just making myself a quick note. I apologize. Forrester Research, between Gartner and Forrester, who pretty much ruled the world at this point, never mind IDC for a second, Forrester follows case most closely. They did what Forrester does waves, Gartner does quadrants. Forrester did a wave on case management. We came out as one of the leaders. One of the things that Forrester noted, or in their view, there are three major buckets of case use cases. There are investigative situations, there are service requests, and there are incident management. Sounds good enough. You know, don't need to argue with it. But one of the things that they had said was that the case manager platform was the best among all of the competitors in addressing any of those different types of use cases. Any or all, I guess.
Right.
So there was a, it's partly why I put that in there, but it's also, this slide is designed to show the fact that there are lots of different use cases across vertical markets. And I also make the point that what you typically find is that in any given market and in any given organization, you probably have more than one instance of a case workload. And most organizations have not used a product or platform to address that. They, you know, they either have a bespoke solution or they buy a point product or they do whatever. And part of our message is Case Manager is a platform upon which you can design and seat and deliver a variety of different case applications. And part of the tooling that we have allows that to happen. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
So in a large organization, a single instance could be could support a variety of application, case management application areas, if you will.
Correct.
You could, it could range from fraud investigations to retail banking customer service requests.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So this next slide drives home a point, again, based on Forrester's view of the world, but since they're willing to, since they've said stuff that we agree with and echoes what we have in the product, we like it. And so, you know, they felt that a case management product or platform as a baseline should have ECM capability, BPM capability, analytical capability, and an adaptive user experience. By the way, Forrester calls this space dynamic case management. We called it advanced case management. Everybody calls it something slightly different, but we're all talking about the same thing. What I'm doing here on this slide is I'm building upon their baseline and basically talking about what we do in the product that echoes what they say that you need. So, you know, first point is you've got to have an ability to deal with content. And I'll make the point a little bit later. It's not enough to link out to another product that stores your content because, you know, A, it's costly to integrate. First, it's costly to license, and it's costly to integrate a variety of different products. And we realize that organizations are going to have in-place content stores. That's fine, and we can address that. But the ability to automatically initiate a case, for example, and, you know, the underwriting one is a good example. If I get an application for a policy, I want to do a whole bunch of things automatically. I want to open up a case, if you will, or, you know, whatever the right term is. I want to adjudicate whether or not we should underwrite this policy or not. So a bunch of things have to happen as a result of that, and we can do that in an automated fashion because of the relationship we have with the content.
Right.
But you also need to keep it around and keep it in context so that all the people involved in this can be looking at what they're supposed to be looking at. Notion of context is brought up in the user experience point. What we provide, we call it the 360 review of the case. So all of the things that anybody needs to know at any given moment or are permitted to know, which is important, the documents associated, the history, case comments or notes, all of that available at hand so they can make the right decision. Analytics are very important, not only historically, but real-time, for example. So, you know, an organization might understand the value or risk that is represented by 1,500 open cases. You know, which ones are open, how long have they been open, what's the dollar value behind them, and which one should we address now, and who should be assigned to it, that sort of stuff.
Right.
There's also the notion of content analytics that we carry along with the product. And so we have an ability to analyze the information in the documents or the notes, all the unstructured stuff that's carried along with the case.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start to get some insight, perhaps, about what's causing them to be opened. If we get flooded with 1,000 new complaints, and I happen to read in the case notes that our CSRs are hearing about something about a product not working, I can ferret that out. I can understand the sentiment and the words that characterize product not working or product broken or whatever, and I can pick that out and I can remediate much more quickly.
Just a quick question there. Is this text analytics, this analytics on unstructured content, is that a competitive differentiator for IBM?
Yes. The reality is, most organizations are not using it. We bundle along with the product.
Right.
And in most cases, they're not using it yet, and I think part of it is, you know, walking before you can run.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes very important immediately in fraud investigation, in care coordination, possibly other areas, but those are two in which it comes to the forefront pretty quickly.
Right. Pega solution doesn't offer that?
No.
Okay, cool.
No, Pega doesn't do anything nor care about content at all.
Okay.
Philosophically, it's a very different view of the world.
Okay.
No. And then the last point is, you've got to have this workflow capability, but more than that, you've got to be dynamic enough to address this notion of unpredictability. And so we provide what we call a tasking capability. And a task can be required, it can be optional, or you can create it ad hoc. If in adjudicating a case, you know that a certain action has to take place at a certain point. In other words, if we okay a loan to be originated, then, you know, you've got to issue a check, then, you know, that could be an automated process, one example. Or I could think of other ones. But anyway, that could be required. So at the point that the system understands that, you know, somebody said, yep, I've done this, that the next task could kick off that structured process. But it also be optional. So a user has at his hand a bunch of optional tasks
mm-hmm.
that he can enact based upon what he knows or what he learns about the case at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then ad hoc means he can create one out of the blue.
Right.
I need 3 people in legal to look at this. Or I need to send this to somebody to give me an opinion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it's about user control.
and then the last build is, you know, it's not enough. Well, anyway, all this stuff has to be built in and tightly integrated, and my system isn't responding. Mm-hmm. I'd like to tell you what's on the next slide, but I can't. You can tell me what the next picture is, and I can describe it.
I believe we'd be going on to page 10, IBM Case Manager.
Oh, is that the one with the rectangle with the three layers?
That's right.
So I thought. So that's the 100,000-foot architecture view of the product. Mm-hmm. And the way we talk about it is, excuse me, the product carries a whole bunch of capabilities with it. Ah, here we go. Those capabilities across the bottom are those things that, you know, we found that our clients are trying to put to work to address case workloads. And strategically, we do not use product names. So the Case Manager is actually a mixture of ECM product and capability and also products and capabilities from other areas in IBM. Mm-hmm. But we don't name it, or we don't list the individual product names because it can be frightening.
Yes.
So we talk about them as capabilities that are inherent and integrated within the product, and they are, and, you know, when push comes to shove, if we have to talk about them, we do. But mostly the idea is that those capabilities are built in, and designers have them at hand to be able to access and use them depending upon if they need them or their particular case solution. Uh-huh. The magic in Case Manager happens in that middle layer, and those are the core and, to a great extent, the unique capabilities in our infrastructure that range from you know, this notion of a case object model. Uh-huh. It's another big technical difference between business process management and case management. Uh-huh. In BPM, the data models represent the process, or, I mean, there really isn't there is a data model, but the data is secondary. The design goal of a BPM tool is to allow you to draw and automate a process. Design goal of case management product is to create and manage a case workload. Mm-hmm. And then do all those things along the bottom to it. So we've built in a case object model that recognizes the existence of structured data and unstructured data and task constructs and comments and all the other stuff that goes into you know, what comprises a case.
Mm-hmm.
There's the task object model. I talked about tasking. It's unique for us. The solution stuff is also a big differentiator. So when you hear me talk about creating a case application, I will always say design. I will never say develop. Mm-hmm. And our designer, called Case Builder, is targeted at the business analyst. So I'm never going to make the claim that you can go build a solution without IT involvement, because you can't.
Okay.
You know, there are certain things that the IT group has to do and wants to do. And, you know, whether that is an underlying, really sophisticated transactional process that has to happen, or it is integration to a back-end system, or it is the creation of a new front-end widget, or whatever, plenty of things for IT to do. But we've made it very easy for a business analyst to design, at the very least, a prototype, or at least design what a solution should look like, what it should be comprised of, in terms of tasks and documents and case structure and so on, and try it out. Mm-hmm. So there is a significant time-to-value message that we bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
And that is that you are able to design and deliver a case solution much more quickly than, you know, either what you used to do with our old tools, which were very developer-oriented, or that you could do with multiple products addressing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. So then the next section actually gets into some of the use cases. And, you know, the idea here is we, you've got experience in the area, but I would still argue it's very hard to describe what it is case manager does and what it does differently without either A, applying it to a use case and understanding why we do it better,
uh-huh.
or seeing it.
Yeah.
So short of seeing it, and this is, I mean, this is what we found in our selling community also. So, you know, the first example here is the underwriting one, and I don't know insurance underwriting all that well, so bear with me. But, you know, basically, an application comes in for a policy to be insured, and there may be other documents that come in associated with it. So, you know, we collect those. So the kickoff of a case could be either I automatically, or, you know, I get a document, I get it by a fax, or it's electronic, or whatever, and that should signal certain things to happen. Or I get it in the mail, and it's probably a clerk at that point, not an underwriter, but whoever it is says, oh, I want to start up a case, and presses a button and starts it off. So the one thing we do is we collect all of that information into the one logical grouping area, the case, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And when each different type of document is recognized or received or noted to be received, mm-hmm. that also can kick off other tasks. So if I, in this diagram, I'm getting a loss history, and so the receipt of that could start an order or underwriter evidence, and then that could kick off multiple tasks. The other thing to remember in case manager is I'm talking about tasks. This is very different from, and it's another departure point from BPM. And in BPM, the map is contiguous. So you start it off and you go down that path and you keep going down that path.
Mm-hmm.
In case manager, you have independent tasks, and those tasks are, I don't know if it's exactly the right term, but it's kind of like fire and forget. I fire a task, and it may cause other things to happen, but it is unrelated. It's not connected to another task. It may cause another task to fire, but it's not pre-wired to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the nice things about case manager is that you can build out all of these individual tasks, and you can, underneath them, attach what we call process fragments. So you could take what were really confusing structured processes and chunk them up, and then regroup them as tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you somewhat better visibility, allows you better control, and particularly if you have an activity that, you know, was unpredicted or is ad hoc, because it's under the control of a task, it's still recorded. It's still
mm-hmm.
auditable.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, you traverse this thing, and all these different tasks are firing, and you have timers that, or milestones that you may need to hit, or you know, all that sort of stuff. And then all the way out to the outcome where, you know, we agree to underwrite a policy, and correspondence is generated, and other stuff happens. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's kind of a crappy description, but I think you get it. I won't go through all of these in tremendous detail. Actually, we've got much time left, but care coordination was another one that I brought up. And the notion here is when the typical use case we're thinking of is somebody gets discharged from a hospital,
mm-hmm.
and then the care of that person is put into somebody's charge. Could be a nurse, could be a family member, it could be another sort of provider. But there often is a care plan that goes along with that patient that needs to be administered and watched, as, you know, whether the patient is following it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And often this has to happen among numerous different types of providers. The patient may be on meds, they may be seeing a psychiatrist, they may be going to physical therapy, whatever. So again, you know, same kind of situation. I have several different types of information. I've got a care plan, I've got a discharge record, I collect all that, I instantiate my case, and then the caregiver can interact with case manager and the patient, obviously, to understand, you know, what's going on. Is the patient doing what he or she is supposed to do? Is there collaboration that needs to happen with a doctor or another provider? Did the patient miss a treatment? Did they take meds wrong? You know, all of that. So all of those things can be represented by different tasks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, you get the... So is it... I mean, as I'm running through this, is it... The thing that should come clear is that, you know, each of these different use cases involves a variety of different information types that have to be collected, managed, looked at, maintained. There is a dynamic element to it. There are different things that have to happen, but depending upon the information in the situation, those things may happen in different sequences or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't brought up the notion of analytics, but you know, understanding, for example, how many policies of what type were writing or have been written, or how many patients with a particular disease are not following a particular particular treatment plan, or, you know, that's more business-oriented analytics that we can get out of the system that become very important, even more important than, you know, just simply how many cases are we processing and how fast and all that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there are two different applications there. There's the day-to-day case management by your frontline knowledge workers and managers of those individuals. And then at a higher level, say in underwriting or fraud investigation and so forth, the analytics would come into play more for a macro view of what's happened over the past month, 3 months, with these types of customers over the past year and so forth, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Next one is, I can postpone going through it. I've got a couple of more in here. The child adoption was the next one. And, you know, the basic notion of the use case is you're trying to ensure that prospective adoptive parents don't have criminal records.
Right.
So what this solution does is it goes and collects potential criminal history or lack thereof from a bunch of different systems, and then the caseworker adjudicates that to try to figure out, okay, you know, can we let, you know, these parents adopt this child?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Next one is commercial fraud. There are actually two different slides on this. I just hadn't figured out which one I wanted to use, but... again, same model. I have an incident that I think could be fraudulent activity. There's a whole bunch of technology I can apply to that to predict or analyze whether there are going to be more of them or whether it really looks like a fraudulent activity. And, you know, those technologies could involve, the content analytics or predictive analytics or whatever. And then... where case manager steps in is the actual investigation process. So once I've figured out, hey, I want to investigate something, the handoffs that could be interagency or, you know, across the department, or all the tests that have to be done to go check on the related activities to whatever the transaction was or situation was, mm-hmm. would be managed, and the associated information would be managed, you know, as a case within case manager.
Okay.
The next one. And then the last one is the more verbose write-up of the customer service request one. And for your own edification, the builds in the slide represent the different key differentiators and case managers. So the first set has to do with the information that we collect and manage, and, you know, the fact it's structured, it's unstructured. The next one is the different way that you can apply tasking. So, you know, based on status or guide a CSR or escalate, do that. And the last one is the analytics that we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So in each of those, you know, what I do strive to do and what I think we'd want to come out through the use cases is how those key differentiators, those four things that will pop up again and again throughout this presentation,
mm-hmm.
how the use cases take advantage of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good. So there are four competitive differentiators?
Yeah. So And that we actually say what they are somewhere in here. Then actually the next group of slides gets into it.
Okay.
And to save time, let's go to slide, what number is this?
21.
The one with the four boxes on it.
21.
Yep, thank you. So, yeah, if you go back and reference this, you see that the four areas are repeated and repeated and repeated with the blue circles. But
mm-hmm.
So the number one is all about the information and the content and so on. You know, you have to keep it maintained, and it's critical. The second one is the inherently it's the notion of tasking, but it's supporting the way that people work. In other words, you can't do this work strapped to a map supporting unpredictable knowledge work.
Mm-hmm.
Collaborative, it's this, it's that. Third one is the analytics. So, you know, you're managing to an outcome, and you can do that based on KPIs, or you may have SLAs in the organization, and the analytics we provide allow you to manage to that, or allow the person to manage to that, or based on what he or she sees is going on, take a different path or different approach mm-hmm. based on trying to achieve whatever the appropriate outcome is. And then the last one, number four, is the businesses can take control. That's where we tend to talk about the design notion and the case builder and the fact that all of the tooling, if you will, is in that one place so that a business analyst can design a solution pretty quickly.
Okay.
And, again, not obviating the need for IT, but we're creating a division of labor, where the IT people do what they need to do and are good at, but the business doesn't have to wait for IT to gen up a solution.
Mm-hmm.
You can still design, you can prototype, you can get value, even while other work is going on.
Okay. Just a question on this. So when we talk about four competitive differentiators,
yep.
A differentiator tends to be a capability,
yep.
Right? So a noun. So if we had to put nouns on each of these, I mean, I've got tasking on number two, analytics on number three, design and...
I mean, number one would be the active content.
Active content, yeah.
One would be active content. Two would be the tasking or dynamic tasking or whatever. Three is analytics. Four is solution design.
Dynamic tasking. Solution design. Okay.
And there are other, I mean... You can go deeper. So the in number one, what enables that is the persistent case object model. I don't know that you'd ever use that phrase in what you're doing.
Good to know.
Yeah. So I mean, if you want to go deeper on any of that stuff.
Okay.
The next few slides talk a little bit about ROI and. You know, in the case of slide 22, I'm making a claim that I can back up. Through confession, we've taken this and we've generalized it. We've generalized a set of real numbers that apply to our prior platform and how much effort it took to do certain things. But we're comfortable that. If you took Case Manager versus a BPM product, this would be at least the savings.
Mm-hmm.
Because we offered ancillary capability to make designing these things easier, it's just that it was still hard, and it was still mm-hmm. focused on the developer and a variety of other things.
Right.
So, yeah, so we, you know, it's significant. You know, we have this time to value message, and you know, clients that have bought into the product would echo that that's why they're interested in it. So both on the admin and operations side and the solution design side, there's some significant effort and thus cost savings.
Okay.
Those are reasons why. The next one, we're still experimenting with look and feel here. So the next one tries to address, so, you know, a lot of the benefit that we talk about is in the design time, and you know that last slide is all about design time savings.
Mm-hmm.
This slide tries to talk to, so what about runtime? So from the knowledge worker's perspective, And remembering that this is all soft cost because, you know, if I'm saying that somebody is saving time, how much time, you know, all that. But ideally, you know, the knowledge worker is saving time because he's not having to go to six different places to look up all different information that's related to that one case. There's one place to go. It's presented to him in context, so not only does he save time, presumably he can service more customers or, you know, do more work, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
The providing visibility is important, so if you accept that these things tend to be unpredictable and, you know, I'd otherwise have a lot of manual work, manual process going on that wouldn't be managed. This way, I get visibility, I get to track, I can manage the SLAs, all of that, even with this unwieldy, unpredictable sort of process.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, more of the same on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
More productivity, less errors. One of the things one of our clients had said was that when they had tried to design, and this is an insurance company doing complex claims, in having designed their solution originally through BPM, what they found was that because of the way they had to map things, they ended up having a lot of redundancy. So people were doing double work and entering data the wrong way and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, some savings there, potentially, if you do it right. Slide 24 is the same as slide 22, only with more words and numbers. I went to it. Slide 25 you can ignore pretty much because this is, I just said, you know, the way you used to do it on our platform.
Mm-hmm.
So our platform was this product, P8 BPM, plus a development tool called Business Process Framework, or BPF.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole chart saying here are all the things that we do better in Case Manager relative to BPF. The last few slides are marketing.
Okay.
We rock. Here's why. Integrated. The only 28 just drives home again this notion that we've got a platform with all this integrated capability. By the way, it also relates to all the other things we do in the ECM portfolio. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then actually some of the use cases that I went through are represented in some of the next few slides.
I see. Right. Okay.
Hopefully that was helpful.
That is very helpful, and I appreciate taking the time to walk through it.
David, your 8 o'clock is with me
yeah.
on podcast, so I don't want to cut this short because you know this is I hate to say this is more important than the podcast, but I think time wise this is a little bit more urgent. So, Mark, because I know I sent you, or rather I forwarded what David sent me about the customer write-up. I'm sure all the use cases are in there somewhere.
Customer write-ups? Yes. Yes, I have all those right here.
Okay.
They're probably not all. I know we don't have, or I'm fairly certain we don't have a commercial fraud investigation write-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
There hadn't been, I don't know if I included the crisis management one because it didn't exist as a sparkler yet.
Mm-hmm.
But care coordination, well, actually, I don't even know if that's in there because there wasn't a customer for it.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I always provide other stuff.
Okay.
So the question for Mark is, how comfortable are you, or are you comfortable with what you're asked to help us with?
Oh, it's fine.
Okay.
I think we're in great shape.
Okay.
I don't think it makes an awful lot of sense for me to really start this because I'm leaving on my last day is Tuesday.
Okay.
But upon return from vacation, or if I was to start it tomorrow, because if I wasn't going on vacation, I have more than enough to map it out, do the introduction, and then size up what we have in terms of use case content in the written materials.
Okay, great.
And I'm quite confident there's enough there. It may may help to do a second call once I really get a great understanding of all we have to work with. But, yeah, I think we're in great shape. Today's was excellent.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so upon return in about two and a half weeks, because you leave next Tuesday,
uh-huh.
So 2.5-3 weeks, we'll get an outline from you of some sort, I assume.
Yes, but the outline's going to be, there's not much to the outline, really.
Okay.
It's you know, introduction, you know, a little bit to that, and then the 5 or 6 use cases and conclusion.
Okay, so we, there's the outline. We don't even need it. I mean, we
probably
don't need it written down, per se.
Yeah, the content is well recognized here. We know which direction
good.
We want to go in, right?
Yep. Okay, so perfect then. If that's the case, I will turn off the recording now.